A week ago, Algeria's President Abdelaziz Bouteflika was elected to a second term. Bouteflika's landslide victory is seen as a reward for his having presided over the waning of a long and bloody Islamist insurgency. But many Algerians are wondering how Bouteflika intends to bridge divisions among the country's Islamists, its secular civil society, and its restless ethnic Berber minority. NPR's Sylvia Poggioli has this report.
Every Wednesday, a group of Algerian women gathers in central Algiers to demonstrate. They are the mothers of the missing sons, fathers, brothers, and husbands, an estimated 7,000 in all. Their tales follow the same pattern. Security forces came in the middle of the night to pick up men suspected of being Islamist guerrillas, and they've never heard from them since. All the mothers of the missing are veiled. Most of them cover their faces following the strictest Islamic tradition. Today, Shaifa Bobadala says they're confident they have found a new champion of their cause.
We all vote for Bouteflika because he's the only president who has ever talked about the issue of the missing. We believe he will solve our problems.
Early analysis of Bouteflika's landslide suggests that he won the votes of large numbers of Islamists. Just 12 years earlier, Algeria's powerful military canceled elections that the fundamentalist Islamic Salvation Front, or FIS, was poised to win. That triggered the arrests of thousands of Islamists and a bloody civil war that human rights activists say claimed 150,000 lives. In 1999, Bouteflika was handpicked by the army as the man best suited to lead the country through a process of reconciliation. Bouteflika took the task to heart and went so far as to pardon thousands of jailed Islamists. Even FIS leader Abbasi Madani was released last year from house arrest. And from Germany, where he lives, FIS spokesman Rabah Kebir had urged his followers to re-elect Bouteflika. This week, Kebir congratulated the president for his resounding victory, which he said was a sign of the people's overwhelming desire for national reconciliation. But members of Algeria's civil society are very worried.
Those people are returning with their civic rights. They can vote. They can be elected. They are returning through the front door.
Saïda Benahabiles is a former government minister and head of the Association of Victims of Terrorism. She was on the Islamist death list, and her daughter was kidnapped by terrorists. She remembers when Islamists said they would turn ballot boxes into coffins. Saïda says women who did not bow to fundamentalist Islamic dictates were prime targets of the Islamist insurgency. 25,000 to 30,000 women were killed, and approximately 10,000 were raped.
I can combat an ideology that is opposed to mine, but a person who has killed and raped has no right to enjoy civic rights.
It's widely believed that Bouteflika will soon dissolve parliament and call for early legislative elections. Many analysts say the president is likely to allow the leaders of the banned FIS to form a new party on the condition that they renounce violence as well as their stated goal of setting up an Islamic state. That worries Saïda Benahabiles, who has been fighting for years to abolish laws that relegate Algerian women to total dependency on male authority. She's not optimistic about the future.
How many women will be represented in the next parliament? What kind of women's rights will the Islamists agree to? They'll never grant women rights over their children. They'll never agree to free women from male tutelage. And they'll never agree to abolish polygamy. We're waiting to see how Bouteflika will reconcile his democratic and his Islamist promises.
Many Algerians are also waiting to see how the president will reconcile his campaign promise to create 1 million new jobs, while at the same time begin privatizing a long, centrally planned economy. Mourad Khilaf, an executive at a new private bank, says Algeria faces the same problems of modernization that post-communist countries in Eastern Europe had to grapple with in the 90s.
The state of Algeria is continuing to finance the public sector, which is completely obsolete, running at 20 or 30% of its capacity, with a huge deficit.
Khelaf acknowledges that dismantling this system could have enormous social costs in a country where official unemployment stands at 24% and is double that among the young, whose disaffection provides fertile ground for Islamist recruitment. Khelaf says the country also needs lots of foreign investment, which will be forthcoming only if Algeria is stable, a condition that could be undermined by the increasingly restless ethnic Berber minority. A large majority of Berbers boycotted the election. Berbers are non-Arab Muslims who inhabited the Maghreb region since Roman times. In Algeria, Berbers comprise 25 to 30% of the population, and they feel their marginalization from the Arab-dominated economy and society is an insult to their history. Following riots in the Berber Kabylie region 2 years ago that claimed more than 100 lives, the government recognized Tamazight as a national language. Abdelkrim Ghezali is the editor-in-chief of the daily La Tribune. He's a Berber who will not allow his identity to be put to a vote.
I cannot be rejected. I could take up arms. If I am rejected as a Berber, if my language is rejected, it would be a rejection of my identity. This is not about my car, my house. This is my being.
Another big question hanging over Algeria's future is what role the influential army will play. While it projected an authoritarian image abroad as it waged war on Islamists, the army always enjoyed the support of a large sector of Algerian civil society. In the aftermath of 9/11, the United States embraced Algeria as an ally, and the army is cooperating closely with the U.S. and NATO in the war on terrorism. And in this election, the traditional kingmaker in Algerian politics pledged neutrality. Political analyst Arslan Chikawi says that both international and domestic pressure persuaded the army to withdraw to the political sidelines.
Since the last 10 years, the army learn that the civil society has a role to play in the decision making. But today we still not have a strong civil society.
Some analysts say the army was surprised by the size of Bouteflika's election victory. But so far the military has turned a deaf ear to opposition candidates' charges of widespread election fraud. However, as Bouteflika pursues national reconciliation, the generals have made it clear they intend to defend the constitution, which calls for separation between the state and religion. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News.